Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Your Biggest Fangirl podcast. I am one of your hosts, Victoria Male.
And I'm Kristen Chavez, and here with us today is one of our good friends, Ashley Cox.
Hey!
Today is a very special, rare occasion because both hosts of the podcast are in the same room as their guest. This has never happened before.
This is groundbreaking and hopefully should happen more often.
Yes, we're all back in the town of our alma mater.
So it's kind of like a homecoming for all of us in a way. So it's pretty exciting.
Ashley has been so kind to agree to come on the podcast and fangirl out with us. Ashley, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so we all met at Chapel Hill. Well, I met you, Tori, during general college senior year because I was helping write. And then I know I met your brother first, Kristen, but then you and
That's
I met.
That's true. I forgot about that.
Because I met him because I did the naval science minor, and then I met you during probably one of the screenwriting classes when I switched to comms. I don't know what, I can't even remember which one.
Yeah, we either.
It just seemed seamless.
we either met in a communications class, but I think we probably got to know each other more at the writers' meetings for the TV show that we worked on, General College.
Right. Kristen and I both went to LA. We were both in the Hollywood internship, which I know Tori did too. And then
we were just a year ahead.
So yeah,
we're the old ones here,
the seniors at the table. And but then I came back to North Carolina because it's cheaper to save money to go back out to LA here.
here.
Right now, I work at Mercy Hill Church, and I also coach at Guilford College. I coach swimming, but really those fuel the fire for writing and taking acting classes because, of course, the goal is to eventually go back out to LA because we all love it out there.
And your next big step is podcast guest.
And my next big step is podcast guest. I'm so excited to be here.
Yay. Tell us, what do you fangirl over? What are your like mainstay fandoms?
Definitely Arrowverse. Wonder Woman has kind of sucked me into the DC universe, which has been amazing. Harry Potter, of course, which is so funny because when I remember when Sorcerer's Stone came out, everybody was like, you have to read this. And I was like, psh, I'm not going to read this book that everybody thinks is amazing. And then I gave in and I read it and I was like, oh my gosh, I made a big mistake. Give me more. And
it's the best kind of mistake to make, though.
That was the same with me and Glee, where people were like, you would love this show. And I was like, whatever.
Stop telling me what to do.
Yeah.
Stop telling me what I like.
And then I watched it and it completely consumed my life for 5 years.
And then, of course, Star Wars and Star Trek. Star Trek actually before Star Wars. And then I got into Star Wars and I was like, this is incredible. Like, I could not. Could not believe it.
Well, and you got into Star Trek when we were in LA together that summer. I think it was the summer, I guess, what, Into Darkness came out?
Yeah.
I think.
I had just seen Into Darkness, and then you and I got the 09 reboot.
Yeah, like Red Box or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
And Kristen can attest to me being like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And like, got the soundtrack.
Like, it was almost like the next day you went out and got a poster of the original series and had it up in the room.
Yes. We were on Hollywood Boulevard and we went into the shop and they had the original series, Everybody on the Bridge. And I was like, I have to have this. And it went into our little Oakwoods apartment bedroom.
it was lovely.
Yes. It was great.
Lovely. And speaking of awesome fan experiences with your fandom friends, you guys are somewhat fresh back from the Heroes and Villains Fan Fest. You guys went to the one that was held in Georgia back in November.
I was driving from Chapel Hill, went to go pick up Ashley, and then we had a nice 7-hour drive from North Carolina down to Atlanta, and it was amazing.
It was amazing.
Like, just the whole weekend. It really was.
Yeah.
What were some of the highlights for you guys?
Ashley?
Shaking Stephen Amell's hand and looking into his beautiful blue eyes.
They really are just beautiful.
They're just, like, we were talking about the 10 rules.
The 10 rules of fangirling.
And mentally prepare yourself for them to be better looking in person. And I think we all decided, like, it's not really possible because,
like,
my knees definitely went weak and my heart rate just started pounding. I was like, oh my gosh, you're like here. Green Arrow, you're here. Stephen Amell, you're here.
I think with that rule, like, you can try to mentally prepare yourself, but you still can't, I think, match up to what they're actually going to be like in person. And not even just how they look, but, like, I mean, we were lucky that all of them were just so gracious and so sweet. And Katrina Law in particular, Ashley went to go get a selfie with her, and I was standing on the line. And even though I was just standing on the line with you and taking the picture for you, she came over and she's like, can I give you a hug too? And I was like, yes, of course. Like, please. She was so sweet.
That's rare, because usually it's me asking them for a hug. So that's kind of, you're kind of a badass.
I was trying, number one, hide you crazy.
Yeah. Or were there any other rules that you guys found, like, helped you in the con experience?
I know we talked about a lot of them when we were there in the moment.
Yeah. I think arriving early, because I think in some ways you never know what to expect when you get there. So, I mean, I had been to two conventions before this, the Supernatural and the Star Wars one. And so it was also, they were still just very different from what I expected Heroes and Villains Fest to be. So I was like, on sometimes I was like, eh, I think we'll be fine if we leave the hotel at 8. Like, we'll be okay. Mm-hmm. And then Ashley's like, let's go now. Mm-hmm. And that was probably a good idea because we also had to face walking uphill in the wind. So we needed to account for wind resistance on our travels.
I think also the one, like talking about their achievements as an artist or trying to pull up something more obscure or something else that they do, like with Stephen Amell, he and his buddy have that winery in Walla Walla, Washington called Knocking Point. And my family and I, like, that's kind of a hobby, is going to different wineries in North Carolina. And so getting to say to Stephen, like, hey, we really love your wine and we're really excited about the wine club, or we had just ordered, I guess, some to try. And then when we met Brandon Ralph, which was so amazing too.
Also very more like
very attractive. Awesome.
Yeah.
And like he gave hugs too, and he was also very gracious and sweet. But I had heard, I love listening also to the Nerdist podcast, and he had done an interview on that with Chris Hardwick, and they had talked about Brandon does the bulletproof diet and like that whole thing. And I was like, oh, well, I'm sure people probably don't talk to him a lot about that. So that was what I asked him about. You know, I got like a solid 1 to 2 minutes of him just looking right at me, telling me about this diet. And I'm like, no, who else is going to have this experience? So it was really cool.
You lucky, lucky ladies. I met Brandon randomly at a party. It was my ex and I got invited to one of his friends' parties. And we walk into this bar in the valley. And I'm like, oh my God, it's Superman. It's like off-brand Superman, that like the Superman no one acknowledges in the film world. But like, I was so obsessed with him when I was 14. And he just turns to me and goes, hi, I'm Brandon. I was like,
I know that. I know who you are.
But I'm going to, number one, hide my crazy and just play along with this. So something I'm curious about, because I've never done it in my con experience, is photo ops, because I know you guys did quite a few of those. What can people expect, and what are your tips and tricks for getting the most out of it?
I think the number one thing, which we did do for the most part, was we booked the ones that we really wanted in advance. Mm-hmm. So actually, I think when we first got our tickets, we originally signed up for, I think, just Stephen Amell.
Yeah.
But then later on, they had the original Team Arrow photo op, which maybe have been a first. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because it was the first U.S. appearance that,
of Emily Bett. Yeah, so it was kind of like our only opportunity to get Stephen Amell, David Ramsey, and Emily Bett Rickards all together in one photo op. And so once that became available, we're like, well, we're going to get that because those are likely to sell out easily. We booked what we really wanted ahead, but then I think we kind of also budgeted in our minds, like, okay, like, what can we get on site?
Mm-hmm.
And I think on site, that's when we decided that we wanted the Legends Trio. Mm-hmm. And that was Brandon Rao, Kitty Lotz, and Victor Garber.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Victor, you know, this was right before Victor Garber left the show, too. As someone who watches Legends, a little bittersweet knowing that, looking back on it, knowing that he is no longer part of Team Legends, but he will always be part of Team Legends to us.
That was such a cool photo op for me, because even though I don't watch Legends as much, I have a lot of respect for Katie because she's part of the She-Thority movement, and she had been on Arrow, and Brandon Routh obviously had been on Arrow as Ray Palmer, and then I knew Victor Garber from other things like Titanic. Everybody knows him from that, and I mean, he's such a phenomenal actor, and to have that, because you loved it because of the Legends, and I think because of those reasons too, but then for me, it was special for me because of those, and that was just, like Kristen said, it was something that we had budgeted for, but we hadn't really expected, and it was such a sweet surprise that we got to do that.
And then there was another surprise that happened that you guys had mentioned.
Oh, that was so funny. So David Ramsey, I think the fun part was actually when we got in on Saturday, we were watching him from the Stephen Amell autograph line. And he's so good with his fans. Like, so
he was
personable.
On the other side of the table, just meeting with fans, signing things. It was also the weekend of his birthday, yeah. So he had so many gifts from so many nice fans that he was kind of just taking and giving hugs. And
everybody saying happy birthday to him. It was just sweet.
So sweet and heartwarming. Yeah. But yeah, it was funny because we must have been coming back from like autographs or walking the floor. And we were just kind of like walking around thinking about like, okay, well, what's next? Is there a panel that we can catch? And Ashley was saying, oh, we might be able to catch the end of David Ramsey's. And I was like, I don't think he's on anymore.
And I'm like super preoccupied because I think I was at a table trying to buy something. I was like, no, like we should go over. And
I could see over her shoulder, David Ramsey walking towards us. And I'm like, Ashley, no, I think he's done talking on stage. And next thing we know, we just hear like Ashley finally turns around and we see David Ramsey walking towards us. Very close, and he smiles at us, and because we're not going crazy and about to like tackle him for an autograph or a photo, and he's just like, "Hi, ladies!" I'm like, "Have a good happy birthday."
Mm-hmm.
Like,
hey,
but he was just he was just so sweet that we kind of just I guess he bumped into us, but
it was that was another really sweet surprise. He seems very down to earth, and I have a friend who's on the writing staff for Arrow, and he said that like David Ramsey is such a sweet guy. He would work with him anytime, like. It's so cool to see stars like that. And I feel like that was really all of our encounters. Like, everybody is so down to earth. And they don't have to be because they're kind of living the dream.
I think that's a really good segue into the piece of media, the article we wanted to speak about this week. It is an article from The Hollywood Reporter titled, Stars Getting Rich Off Fan Conventions, How to Take Home, quote, Garbage Bags Full of 20s, unquote, by Leslie Goldberg.
There should also be a subtitle to this, How Fans Leave, or like give away garbage bags full of 20s.
Yeah, the garbage bags full of 20s are fans' hopes and dreams.
Basically.
So this article really explores and uncovers just how lucrative fan conventions can be for the stars who are appearing at them. I think sometimes, especially me as a fan, not necessarily an actor on a show, we always think like, oh my God, it's such a big deal. Like we feel like we're benefiting the most, like, or we're getting the majority of the benefit from meeting someone at a convention. And this article talks about how fan conventions are actually incredibly profitable for stars and how they can make more money in a weekend doing photo ops and autographs and appearances than they can working a week or like a season on a network show.
And after reading this article and kind of seeing how much these stars pocket just from a photo op, like a $100 photo op, you know, 10 may go to the convention, 10 may go to the photographer, and then the star pockets the rest. You can kind of believe that because fans can easily drop like hundreds and hundreds of dollars because we did. And I'm very cheap on the record. But we still dropped a lot of money for these experiences. And I wouldn't say that it was like, I don't regret it. I would probably do it again because I've done it before. I've done it twice now. That is kind of wild to think how much money that they are going to make off of these conventions because there's hundreds of people. And if you do multiple conventions in 1 year, I feel something like Heroes and Villains Fan Fest. I mean, it's multiple times a year in all these different cities, but which is great because not everyone can go out to San Diego for Comic-Con once a year. The farthest we can go is Atlanta.
Ashley, was this the first convention you've ever done?
No. The funny thing is, when I was doing the Hollywood internship, I was working with Hillary Segan Shepherd, and they were working on Haven at the time, which was on Sci-Fi. We had a panel that year at San Diego Comic-Con, and I didn't know anything about it. And I came back to the apartment, and I'm like, Kristen, like, we're going to this thing called San Diego Comic-Con. What's that?
And I think you flipped out. I flipped out. There's really no other way to say that.
Yeah. And so then I get there with our other intern and walk in and I'm like, oh, this is what people were talking about.
And this was really before you were into any of those big mm-hmm. fandoms, you know, before Wonder Woman, before Arrow. Mm-hmm. So what was that kind of like walking in almost blind?
Well, I realized, for one, if you walk in just regular street clothes, you are way out of place.
It's the one time where rule number three, which is like, don't wear fan gear, is inverted, where it's like, you better be wearing your fan gear or
at least a t-shirt of your, you know.
I quickly made up for that because the first day that we were there, like, we had the Haven panel, of course, and so did that and got to help out with that. But then I quickly went in because I had just, of course, seen Star Trek, this 2013 Star Trek reboot. reboot, and quickly went out and got a Starfleet shirt, and so that Sunday I could wear my Star Trek shirt and rock my Haven hat, and I was like, okay, I fit in now, I'm doing better, this is good.
So was Heroes and Villains your first convention where you did a photo op, and did you ultimately feel like it was worth it?
Oh my gosh, yes. Definitely the first one we've done photo op, or that I've ever done a photo op. And one of the things I think is cool is, no, it's not as big, of course, as like SDCC, but it gives you straight up access where you wouldn't. Yes, there's still lines, but the lines are shorter. You can have the time and the means to have those face-to-face interactions that you might not get at something like a bigger convention, which I really appreciated, because that just, you're welcoming those people into your home every week, you know, via the TV, and then to be able to walk up to Stephen Amell and say, hi, my name's Ashley, it's really great to meet you, and him say, you know, hey, I'm Stephen, how are you, you know, back, that makes me even more willing to keep turning on the show and then watch the crossover and even watch more of the DC shows because I'm having those personal connections.
Right, and Stephen Amell is actually a really interesting figure in this puzzle. He's someone who's really embraced the con life. So Stephen Amell is quoted in this article as saying, if somebody wanted to do a convention every weekend, they could make more on the convention circus than their episodic fee, which, trust me, I work in the industry. We're not talking small beans, says Arrow star Stephen Amell, who became so enamored of the festival business that he started his own talent agency, WFA Entertainment, to help other actors navigate the space and score a buck for himself. The actor, who is said to have irked traditional agents by competing with them, says he wanted to control the whole front and back end of my operation. I didn't see a need for representation. One source deeply involved in the convention circuit estimates that Amell walks away with $250,000 a weekend, more than he makes per episode for Arrow, though he denies that figure.
I would believe it.
Same.
Yeah.
I think what gives him credit, though, it's not like, and the article does point to this, that there are some producers who may feel irked by actors going off and blowing off some gigs or some shows to do these conventions so that they can make more money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may risk not getting called back for things. But I think to Amell's credit, even though he's always on these circuits and probably making some good money, he's still doing the show. We're in the middle of what, season 6? Mm-hmm. And he seems to love it. There seems to be no sign of stopping him as Oliver Queen. He is Oliver Queen. And I hope he never leaves, but.
No, I was just going to say what I love too is, to me, I kind of think about the camaraderie of the cast, because I think, like, I follow everybody on Instagram. That's probably my main social media medium at the moment. And everybody bonds while they're working out because they all go to, like, it looks like they all go to the same gym in Canada, you know. And then when they're at these fan fests, they're all taking photos together and they're popping in each other's panels. Like, Steven dropped in on Juliana and Rick Gonzalez's panel, and so did Echo Kellum popped in too. So yes, they may be raking in this money, which, you know, that's its own thing, but to me, like, what really stands out as a fan is just the camaraderie of this cast in every facet of their life together on this show.
The heart is still there, and the heart is always there. It is a family from them, and I think you believe it, and that's what makes the show so strong, is that, like, you see this chemistry with all these actors, and you see it in real life as well.
It's interesting, too, because the article points out that Stephen Amell has a profit participation stake in the Heroes and Villains Fan Fest. So as attendees of the Heroes and Villains Fan Fest, as we've discussed, like, seems like Stephen Amell isn't a disruptor in this space, but do you think maybe it's ultimately worth it, or he's able to bring, like, some sort of special sauce with the camaraderie that even though he's profiting from it, he's maybe introducing a different type of convention feel to the space? Because I know when I attended Comic-Con, it's sensory overload, like, people are cutthroat, and it just seems like from your experience that things were a little more chill, or there was a more family, almost a more family vibe.
Well, I feel like the main drive that I saw from HVFF compared to Star Wars Celebration, Supernatural, two also very different conventions, I think there's a lot more emphasis on photo ops and autographs. I think I would have liked to see a bit more panels, but maybe because it's a smaller thing, it's harder to put together something like that. But I think you did have more opportunity to, I think, do more meet and greets with the celebrities. And it's very, at least HBFF Atlanta, it was very Arrow heavy, which we appreciate.
I think what's cool is, I feel like to people who aren't maybe as used to conventions, they might have kind of a, what is it, Galaxy Quest in mind. Like, you know, this is where old actors go to, this is where they go to just try and get publicity. And that's so not what Heroes and Villains is. Kind of what you said, Kristen, just the ability to meet fans. I mean, yes, we, you know, maybe paid a lot for selfies or autographs. And I'm excited that we have those. But for me, you know, if I was paying a huge chunk of change to get a selfie and an autograph with Brandon Routh, in my mind, I was paying for, you know, that 2 or 3 minutes of interaction and getting to talk to him. And that's really what was most important to me. And I don't think you get that at bigger conventions where you have, you know, over 100,000 people. You just don't. And what's cool is that the people in line that you're with also recognize that and respect that, and you have your own conversations with them. And I think that's really cool too. You have a camaraderie amongst the fans and then between the fans and the cast.
Because we're all there for the same reason.
Right.
It's not as the same as like another convention where, because I've, again, like the only convention I've really been to is something where it's just everything under the sun, and it's a hodgepodge and it's like the biggest convention. So it can feel a little antiseptic where they're just moving you along. And that's where the rule where it's like, think of something obscure to say so you stand out and maybe you can get like 30 seconds more with someone was born out of. And it's interesting what you said, Ashley, about how conventions were previously viewed, how they were kind of like an actor's last resort. Like when they're not booking jobs anymore, when they're not working in the industry anymore, they're signing autographs at a convention to make ends meet, where I think it's the opposite now, where they're leveraging a job that they already have to join the circuit and make even more money because they're lucrative in a way that they haven't been before.
Which, of course, drums up fan support for the show to keep the show going, and it really is a symbiotic relationship, I think.
Yeah, that was what I was looking for, just brought up in the article. Like it says, for networks and studios, fan conventions can also be a boon for free publicity. Like the idea of that is like, I mean, it's not free, but it is still publicity for those shows. And it's just this really, I think it's a nice cycle for the shows and then the fests and then the shows. And then
it's certainly free publicity for the networks.
Right.
But at the same time, are fans being exploited?
We could talk.
Yes, we're like...
But it's okay because we're consenting.
Like, we're complicit in... Like, we're definitely complicit in the exploitation.
Well, I'm trying to look at it from another perspective. Again, I live in a city where there's a chance you might meet someone at the grocery store or at a restaurant for free. But also, like, I didn't always live in a city. At the same time, like, I remember going to events or, like, waiting outside of stage doors for people who like didn't come. Like I remember seeing Daniel Radcliffe in How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. And I mean, I was up in New York interning, but like I was already spending money to travel and stay there. And then we spent money on the tickets, and Broadway tickets are not cheap. And we went to a matinee. We had amazing seats. It was an amazing performance. And then you rush outside to the stage door, and then a staffer tells you that he doesn't come out in between shows. And you're like, oh, so even though maybe it's nobler, or it could be argued that it's more organic to not have to pay for the interaction, when you're trying to meet someone anyway, you're already spending a crap ton of time and a crap ton of money, and there's no guarantee. So in some ways, there is a guarantee that's provided. And the article also talks about an actress from Firefly, Jewel State, who did 12 conventions last year while pregnant with her son, and as she says, pretty much non-hireable. So that also kind of makes sense, because specifically for women who are treated, read the news, women are not treated well in the film industry. So I guess I can see that, like, at least these fan conventions give them their own sense of agency in a way. And yeah, like, when you're pregnant, it is hard to book work. And if you turn 30 as a woman, it's also hard to book work. So,
I mean, when you break it down, yes, stars are just like us. They're normal people. And you would think it's crazy if you're paying $40 just to see your cousin who may live in town or something like that. When you break it down, like, when you think about it, when you strip everything else away, it is insane to think that you're going to spend money to have someone sign something. And you're like, well, what's the actual value of that? But as fans, we just put so much value on that. So I don't think it's really necessarily all on the actors or on the celebrities or anything like that, because we're also the ones attaching value to these things, that like we're also eating it all up. So I think we're definitely complicit in that whole industry of making this very lucrative for them.
I'm thinking about, I mean, granted, they can make more in a weekend than they do, you know, per episode. But in general, I mean, because of the industry that they're in and because of the accomplishments they have, I mean, their time is valuable. And so, in a sense, you're paying their hourly rate. I don't know. That's a way to think of it, which is not, you know, the prices are pretty steep, but I don't regret anything that I spent money on. I don't, but I know it was a high amount. But that's kind of how I view it, is their time is a little bit more valuable than mine because what they're doing has an insanely greater impact at the moment than whatever I'm doing. That's kind of how I measure it.
And then also thinking about these people serve, and you don't have to be in the film industry. Like, these people serve as inspirations for us. And so if having your interaction with Brandon Routh and Katie Lotz is going to like help fuel that fire and keep that fire burning to ultimately achieve what you want to achieve, and it's a great memory, then...
Yeah. And it's a thank you to them in some way, too.
Well, and I can definitely, like what you just said, Tori, like them being an inspiration. Like, for me personally, like I mentioned way early at the beginning of the show, like I've started taking acting classes. And that is something that as an introvert, I would never have done, would never have thought I've been brave enough to do. But as I've started writing and just the more I love certain shows or certain fandoms, that's been something that I felt has been on my heart. And to see Arrow and learn where they came from, where these different cast members came from, that was exactly what you said, was an inspiration for me. Like, that is one of the biggest reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing and trying to pursue acting, as crazy as that sounds. So,
well, you gotta be crazy to do it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for getting down and dirty and deep with us. We'd like to lighten it up just a tinge. Now it's time for the Would You Rathers.
This is the really fun part. And I have to say, when our first episodes started coming out, Ashley was one of our very first fans. And I remember talking to her, I think on our way to Atlanta, she was saying, "Oh, I've been thinking all about those questions. I have answers." So now we get to hear that.
Now's the time. We're so, and also Ashley's the best in the world and has been so supportive. And we need to take this moment to say how much we love her and how happy we are that she took time and to geek out with us.
All right. Are you ready, Ashley?
I'm so ready. Yes. I'm so excited.
Okay. Would you rather have your show be canceled at its peak or have it drag on for too many seasons?
I would rather have it drag on too long, because if Arrow, for example, were canceled at its peak, which I would consider, am I allowed to spoil what happened in the crossover?
Sure. It's been long enough.
Okay, it's been out, so shame on you if you haven't watched it. Oliver and Felicity get married. Hey! if the show were canceled right after that, I think I would be sobbing for a solid month. So I would rather have it go on too long.
Would you rather wait in line for your favorite panel, only to miss it, and be able to come back next year? Or would you rather meet your icons, but then be banned for life?
I think I'd rather meet my icons, because I can say now, having met Stephen Amell and Brandon Routh, I think I'm still on cloud nine, so I'd be quite content with that.
It'd be worth it.
It would be worth it.
Okay. Would you rather see Captain Kirk become a Jedi, or see Luke Skywalker become captain of the Enterprise? Ashley, literally,
this is her question.
No brainer, would rather see Captain Kirk become a Jedi, because I feel like Captain Kirk is very much like a Han Solo character. A great leader, but kind of a little bit of a cowboy. And if we could see Harrison Ford as Han Solo become a Jedi, that would be, of course, choice number one. But choice number two would easily be seeing Captain Kirk become a Jedi.
Okay, two things. Which Captain Kirk? Pine or Shatner?
Oh, wow. That's a really good question. I hadn't thought this far.
Remember, one is considerably more attractive.
I think I would have to go with Chris Pine. Chris Pine, I've loved him since Princess Diaries 2.
Oh, gee, brace it, girl.
Yep, and I just love him dearly. So, yes, I would pick him.
Good answer.
And my second thing is, you're not the first guest of ours to bring this up.
I know. I heard it on one of our previous podcasts, and I think Maiko, I texted Kristen and was like, she stole my answer.
No, but it was, wasn't it Maiko?
I think so.
Maiko. It was. Yes. I think, sorry, pronoun. He stole my answer. It was really funny.
Okay. Maiko, you have a kindred spirit.
Would you rather an alternate universe where Harry Potter is a squib, or NAU where he becomes a dark wizard?
I think I would actually really like to see what he's like as a dark wizard.
Why not?
Because I know that he's a good person and whatnot. I almost wonder if he became like an evil villain. I almost wonder if he would be like a Darth Vader evil villain, like, you know, go bad and be this dark villain, but ultimately, you know, sacrifice in some way for good.
redeem himself.
Redeem himself. That's my hope.
for Albus Severus.
Yes, exactly. Oh, exactly.
Would you rather be a Disney princess or a Disney villain?
In real life or as an actor?
Let's go real life.
Real life. Now that Star Wars is Disney, I'd like to be Princess Leia. Because she's pretty badass.
She's okay.
Just kidding. She's a princess and she can use the Force.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, now since Ashley has left us a review on Apple Podcasts, we're letting her have a bonus question for the Would You Rathers.
So, fresh off of meeting Brandon Rao. Would you rather have a long-term relationship with Clark Kent or passionate flying with Superman?
Oh my gosh, so easy. I would rather have long-term with Clark Kent because I don't think I would even care if I didn't know that he was Superman. Like, either a long-term relationship with Brandon Routh, Superman, or even Henry Cavill now that I've seen Justice League, because I had not seen any Batman or Superman stuff before that. His abs, oh my gosh. I don't think I was freaking out in the theater at all, right, Kristen? but yes, I don't think I'd even care if I knew that they were Superman or not. I would just, to have that for forever and ever would be golden.
You still get the bod.
You still get the bod.
For a nerdy reporter, damn, you look good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm okay with that.
Oh my gosh, Ashley, this has been so fun. Thank you for fangirling out with us. Where can everyone find you on the interwebs?
On Instagram, Splashly, SplashleyBC. And then on Twitter, SplashleyCox, so SplashleyCox. But I'm probably most active on Instagram right now.
Very cool.
Thank you so much again for coming out here. To both of you, thank you again to both Victoria and Ashley for coming to see me so we could all be in one room together. This has been amazing.
It really has.
So much fun.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again in a couple weeks.
And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you're enjoying it, as well as leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts.
And go ahead and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at YBFG Podcasts. You can find us on Tumblr, too, at yourbiggestfangirl.tumblr.com. And you can check out show notes, bonus content, and more at our website, yourbiggestfangirl.com.
Our theme song is The California Lullaby Instrumental by Josh Woodward, used under Creative Commons Attributions 4.0 International License.